Our study tonight is out of Daniel chapter 11, verses 35b to verse 45. God's encouraging details of Antichrist's future reign. We're finally dealing with the Antichrist himself in the book of Daniel. We believers living in a spiritually decaying godless culture need to live affirmatively in victory over sin. Daniel, as a young man, was taken captive by godless Babylonians, and he lived through Persia's conquest of Babylon, righteously and wisely serving the Lord in a godless culture as a great example for us. One of the great encouragements we can glean from Daniel's life experiences was the revelation God gave him of his vast sovereignty over the Antichrist himself. What Daniel chapter 11, verses 35b to 45 provides. I'd like to read those verses, and then we'll study them. Daniel 11, beginning at the end of verse 35. Because it is yet for an appointed time, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak astounding things against the God of gods, and shall prosper until the indignation, that's God's indignation, be accomplished. For that it is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, that's the Messiah, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall also enter into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to take away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas, that's between the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea, in the glorious holy mountain. And yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Okay. The Daniel chapter 7 through 12 visions predict trials that God's people would face after Daniel's era under godless empires until the arrival of Christ's kingdom. Daniel 11, 35b to 45 predicted the details of the Antichrist's reign, revealing God's great sovereignty over even the worst human ruler in history. If God is going to be sovereign over the worst ruler of human history, he's certainly sovereign over the ones that we might have now. So we view that insight given by God's powerful angel to Daniel for our edification. Though the events of the rule of Antiochus IV Epiphanes in Daniel 11, 21 to 35a have all been literally fulfilled, none of the events in Daniel 11, 36 to 45 relate to Antiochus IV. They just don't. To explain, the Daniel 11, 35b English Standard Version phrase, "for it still awaits the appointed time," marks a break with the era of Antiochus IV. So though he was like the Antichrist who will rise from the Roman Empire, according to Daniel 7, 7 to 11, remember Antiochus was from Greece, Antiochus IV was not part of the end time era. And Daniel 11, 36 to 45 deals with the actual Antichrist of the end time. It's interesting, you'll notice there's a similar pattern that's going to occur here with the Antichrist. He gets infuriated down in Egypt because people are still coming his way. And he comes back and he takes his fury out on Israel. Well, that's what Antiochus IV did. He was frustrated down in Egypt, and so he came back and took his frustration and his anger out on Israel. He did it twice. So there's a pattern here, and it certainly smacks of Satan's activity behind these rulers, whether it's Antiochus or whether it's the Antichrist who's to come. So we view the details of the actual end time Antichrist in Daniel 11:36 for insight and for edification. The Antichrist will not submit to anyone, but he will do just as he pleases, exalting and magnifying himself above every god and saying astonishing things against the God of gods. I know the King James Version translates it as marvelous, but the word marvelous can be used in a negative sense, and that's astonishing. It would be shocking. He would be saying shocking things. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed, for what has been determined must take place. That's what Daniel 11:36b takes. And the wrath here is the wrath of God. So God in his wrath will let the Antichrist rise and commit great sin to punish Israel and the world for having rejected Christ. And guess what? This is all predicted in Zechariah 11:1 through 17. In Zechariah 11:1 to 14, I don't have time to develop it here, it actually predicts the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he came, how he's rejected. It has the casting of 30 pieces of silver in the temple. And all of that. And Jesus breaks his staff between the northern and the southern kingdom. He was planning on uniting Israel and Judah back in their kingdom, but he broke it. He gave up on doing that. And so God says, all right, let's take the instruments of a foolish shepherd. In verses 15 and 17, talks about the Antichrist. What's interesting is the ministry of Christ was roughly 3.5 years. Antichrist takes his wrath out in the last 3.5 years. So just as they had rejected Christ in his ministry for 3.5 years, so God's going to bring them a false Christ, a false Messiah, and it's tit for tat. So even the time of the Antichrist, 3.5 years, exactly fits the sovereign plan of God. So there's nothing here that's a mistake. Now, the Antichrist will not have regard for his religious heritage, nor for Israel's hope for the Messiah. And here it's called the one desired by women. See, women desire to be the mother of the Messiah who was to come, the Jewish women. So the desire of women is refers to the Messiah. So he's going to have absolutely no regard for a hope in a Messiah for his own religious heritage. He might have had a Roman Catholic heritage, we don't know, because he's coming from Europe. But he totally rejects his own religious heritage. And he will exalt himself over all. In place of these gods, the Antichrist will exalt a god of fortresses. Dr. Pentecost believes this is the god of military might, who knows. Honoring this god with gifts of gold and silver, precious stones, and costly gifts. He will use military might to expand his dominion, greatly honoring those who support him. And it's interesting that Antiochus Epiphanes did the same thing. He handed out rewards to people who were following him and granting them power over many people and distributing the land possibly at a reduced price. So just as you have a seizing of property and redistributing it, sort of a Marxist ideology that Antiochus IV produced, and we have today, which shows us that it's satanic. The Antichrist is going to be using this methodology to a great degree. Now, near the end of his reign, namely during the second half of the 70th prophetic week of Daniel 9:27, the Antichrist's interests will be attacked at Israel because he will have, remember, in Daniel 9:27, 9:26, he's going to have a treaty with Israel for 7 years, but it's going to be attacked. In other words, a nation with whom he will be in Israel, with whom he will be in a seven-year league, will be attacked. And the attack will come from the king of the south, from Egypt, and its Arab allies in the Sinai area and Persian Gulf, according to Pentecost, while the king of the north will storm out against Israel with chariots, a cavalry, and great fleet of ships. Now, a lot of scholars think this king in the north will be Gog and Magog, will be Russia of the book of Ezekiel. But the problem is Russia comes down, and she's not opposed at the time, and God takes care of Russia by destroying her with a fire and brimstone from heaven. So they don't know who this is. Apparently, it's a king from the north, but it's not of any of the Greek armies. So the king of north will not be a Seleucid, but some as yet unidentified ruler from the northerly direction. So they're going to try pincher movement against Israel. And of course, the Antichrist is in pact with Israel. That's going to infuriate the Antichrist, who's over in Europe, in Rome. So he's going to come. And the Antichrist will react to this dual attack on his ally Israel by moving his army from Europe, where he's identified as the ruler of the revived Roman Empire in Daniel 9, 26 to 27. And he'll move his military forces to the Middle East, invading many countries and overflowing them, probably a lot of Arab territories. Dr. Walford wrote a book on this, and he feels that the Antichrist is going to try to seize the oil fields in Kuwait, Iraq, and so forth, so that he could get complete control of that. Who knows? Anyway, the Antichrist will react where he's, and after he invades many countries, the Antichrist will also enter Israel. Apparently, he's going to enter Israel initially, not invading her. He's just coming in, unannounced. While Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon east of the Jordan River will be delivered from his hand. He will extend his rule over many nations, going down into Egypt to gain control of its gold, its silver, and the rest of its wealth, and the Libyans and Nubians will be in submission to him. Nevertheless, reports out of the east and north, the north could be Russia, I don't know, or it could be Siberia, and the east may be the 200 million demon-possessed men who are coming from the Orient, China, Japan, Korea, who knows. But they're coming, and if he already seizes the oil fields, and remember the Chinese and everybody, they don't like that because they need that for their productivity. So it makes sense that they would want to come. So anyway, it will alarm the Antichrist when he hears about this and reports of possibly more massive enemy armies headed his way. So he will set out in great fury to destroy and annihilate many. So he hears about this down in Egypt. He's angry. He's furious. Now he comes back into Israel and he's angry. Guess what? Infuriated, the Antichrist will return to Israel. He will pitch his tent at the Temple Mount. That's between the seas. That's between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea at the Temple Mount. We believe that at this point he breaks his treaty with Israel, according to Daniel 9:27. He defiles the temple, according to Matthew 24:15-22, and he tries to destroy all Jews. Christ warned about this in Matthew 24:15-22. In fact, he says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet, don't even go back into the house to get your clothes or anything. Get out, otherwise you're dead. And they will flee. And many scholars believe that Israel will flee down to Petra. Petra is in Edom, and Petra is a city. It's been carved into the caves there, and people could stay there, but it's a fortress. And Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 to 17 says that Israel will flee from the Antichrist, actually flee from Satan, out in the desert. And Satan will apparently try to flood her out, just as he unsuccessfully tried to drown Israel in the Red Sea. But God is going to, the ground is going to open up and take the sea. Now, we don't know what's going on with that, but that's going to happen during the Great Tribulation. And infuriated even more, Satan will turn back apparently with the Antichrist and go after it and try to destroy everybody who puts his faith in Christ at that particular point. That would be Gentiles throughout the rest of the world. Yet he will come to his end. He will come to his end as Jesus Christ returns and casts him into the lake of fire. Revelation 19:20 talks about the coming of our Savior with his angels. He comes down, and the Antichrist and the false prophet are captured, and they are cast alive into the lake of fire. And they spend the rest of their eternity there, and they suffer torment forever and ever. But our Savior, Jesus Christ, is saved. So what happens as East is apparently getting ready to meet West, and they're getting ready to destroy one another, Christ comes back and actually salvages the human race by handling everybody. So though the Antichrist will be the evilest ruler in history, God will sovereignly use him to punish sinners. You see, this is why it says back in verse 36, he will be successful until the time of wrath is completed, the time of God's wrath. for what has been determined must take place. And it was determined way back in Daniel's time. Of course, we believe it was determined from eternity past. But everything is meticulously designed, and at just the right moment, Christ comes back, ends the Antichrist's reign, and we go into, we believe, the Messianic kingdom. So though the Antichrist will be the evilest ruler in history, God will sovereignly use him to punish sinners. So may we rest in the infinite sovereignty of God over evil rulers and grow in holiness in our walk. This is all designed, and we're going to see next week the effect of all this on Israel. That's in chapter 12. God's going to use this tumultuous time to refine his people. Two-thirds of the Jewish people will end up losing their lives, but one-third will live, and that one-third that lives will be refined like gold. And when Jesus Christ comes back, of course, he's going to start his kingdom with that refined group of very devout believers, Jewish believers. And then, of course, there's going to be a world full of Gentile believers. He's going to resurrect Old Testament saints. We're going to come back with him. He's going to resurrect saints who had died during the Great Tribulation, and then we go into the kingdom era. So God is sovereign, and we need to rest in that.